So I really wanted to talk about faith today because it's just, I don't know. This is the base, this is the foundation of our walk with God. This is God's supernatural language. And sometimes we try to talk to God and a whole bunch of other things, maybe like emotions and feelings, but God is actually a God of faith, and his language is faith. So if we don't actually understand faith, we won't even get God at all. Yeah? So I've got some of these on here. So faith is our foundation. Believing and accepting by faith what God has done for us changes our lives from the instant we believe. By faith, we accept God's love for us, and that lays the foundation for our identity as Christians. So we can't even get to the part where we know that we're saved without faith. So we're actually asking the Lord, because we talk a lot about grace in this church, which is fantastic, and I believe grace is, again, another key foundation, a key lens for us to look through the Bible with. But faith is our foundation. We can't even accept what God has done for us. Shall I just quickly go to the next one? Here's Ephesians 2:8-10. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. So what's our part in that is actually faith, right? God has graced us, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So I really want to focus on this part here about faith. It's actually a glorious word. But I feel that sometimes we kind of shy away from faith, or we just don't even think we've got any. And actually, you know, most of us here would say that we believe in God, right? And that we're following Jesus. That's why we come to church on a Sunday, because we're following him. So actually, congratulations, you've got it. You've got faith. Now, faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were recommended for. I might actually have that on there. Do I? Ooh. Yeah, there we go. So this is what Abraham, this is what Moses, this is like the, so in the Old Testament, there is these great ancient heroes, right, that we talk about all the time. And we kind of, you know, we look at heroes in like this day and age as being like full of integrity. They're loyal, they'll save the weakest link, you know, all those sorts of things. But actually in the Bible, some of these ones, they weren't nailing life. They weren't doing the best. Actually, they were making mistakes all the time. But what God held high was that they believed in what he said. They had faith in who he was. And that's what made them the heroes of the Bible. That's what made... So God holds faith so high. As she says in the Bible, that it's impossible to please God without faith. Right? So I feel like this is just kind of a continuing of what Mark was talking about the other week, was about the walk. And we just feel like we're just beginning to journey through foundational stuff at the moment. And I actually just love, I love having a topic like this because it's good for me. Like, I have to sit down and spend time with the Lord and really push in and press in about faith. So now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Scripture's so good, eh? I just love the scripture of the Lord. Cool. I'm going to go back to this one. So what are you counting on in order to make it through life? Jesus told his disciples in Mark 11:22, he said, "Have faith in God, for faith in anything else outside of the living God is a misplaced faith." So faith in God is a commitment of trust in the God we believe, that he is faithful and reliable. God can use people to help you, but your faith and confidence can never be in the vehicle that he uses. Your faith cannot be in yourself, because you can fail you. So God is calling us to have this faith in him. It's really important of what we actually have faith in, because in the world, we can have faith in many different things, but in the end, the kind of rug is pulled out from underneath us because it actually doesn't hold substance. And so God is our substance. So I challenge you this morning in your thinking to actually ask God, what are the areas that you don't trust him in? Because if there's areas that you don't trust him in, you actually find it really hard to have faith in that area and be able to actually step out. Because God will actually meet you. He always meets you. But if you don't have the faith, literally, to step out into that space and place, you're going to feel, you know, it's all going to fall apart. So have faith in God, or faith in anything else outside the living God, is a misplaced faith. And then 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul said, "For I know whom," not what, "but I know whom I have believed, and I am fully persuaded that he's able to keep me until he returns." Imagine if we were like Paul. Imagine if we actually played out the gospel like Paul. If we actually had a faith where we were fully persuaded. Do you know what I mean? We were fully persuaded in who God is. Because we have so many doubts that come in. You see, the devil likes to fuse. We were learning about this actually the other day, and it was just so profound. And he likes to get our identity, right? God says who we are, and we've got to have faith to believe who he says we are. He actually says we're perfect because of him. And so there's no room for shame in that space when we actually believe that we're perfect. Not if we're perfect because of us, that's pride, but if we're perfect because of him, that's humility, that's the honoring him. Yeah, so we've got identity, but guess what the devil tries to do? He tries to fuse our past life, the actions that we've done through life, things that have happened to us, all those things. He tries to bring this like welding machine and weld it to our identity, but that's actually not what God says. God doesn't even look at that. He doesn't even look at it. He's not even interested in this. Okay, because he goes, "I sent my son to bring us into righteousness with him." Yeah, so we are righteousness of Christ. And I just feel that we need to begin to actually declare that out of our mouths at home. Because what we often do is look in the mirror and we say mean things to ourselves. And Satan has actually fused a lie to you from the past. And God goes, "You are believing that lie, so therefore you've made an alignment with the enemy there." And he goes, "I don't want you to have that anymore. I don't want you to have this attachment to him." He goes, "I want you to know," this is why it's so important to get into Ephesians and these places, which tells us our identity of who we are. We are the righteousness of Christ. Amen? So good. I'm going to jump into, this is a really serious Bible. I mean, check how big this is. This comes out when the big guns. No, I'm joking. Don't often bring the big old Bible out. Mum got me this, actually. Didn't you, Mum? I think. Have to be. This one probably hasn't as much, actually. My other ones have been a bit more. So I'm going to go to, I don't think I've got this on the screen, but I just about to go to, so we've kind of talked about just the foundation of faith, and I know that's quite simple, and I don't want to stay on that for ages, but it's kind of saying, I'm just hoping that you get kind of little pocket revelations throughout this, and also just feel, yeah, that part before where we're just realizing that we're actually perfect, that there's actually no room for shame. And like Mark said before, he is not far away from us. I think there's this lie that when Jesus came, he brought this closeness, and yes, there is elements of that, but God was actually close with us in the Old Testament. And if you actually read in Isaiah, he constantly called out to be close with us, and he constantly wanted that closeness of relationship. So he's never actually pushed us away, ever. So I'm going to go to I think I'm going to start there. So God's covenant with Abram. So this is Genesis 15, if you've got your Bible and you're really holy. It says 15:2, it says, "But Abram said, 'Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless and the heir of my house is Eliezer, something like that, of Damascus. Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord and accounted it to him for righteousness. So what was really key about this part, I'm going to jump into this other part. Wasn't going to, but why not? Great heroes. Mark 11:24 says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. So what we often get wrong about this, even with healing, even with whatever really it applies in your life, it says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And some other ones all says you will have it. But a lot of the times it says here, you have to pray, receive, and then you will have, not pray, have, then believe. So with this whole, with Abraham going on right here, God is telling him the provision, the protection, and the promise that's going to happen. And with this here, so what I'm saying is, spiritual conception took place in this when God spoke and Abraham agreed. There was a miracle that actually happened of conception together, or spiritual conception is what I would call it. So just like when you have a baby, that you conceive the baby, and then later on, you can feel it, you know it's there, you know it's real. But sometimes there's an order of things. So when we pray, then we have to believe that we've received it in that moment. So even for a healing and that spiritual conception time, we have to believe that we've received it. Because often what we do is we pray, oh, I've got a sore arm. We pray and we go, oh, I don't see anything different. We just rejected, we didn't even receive any healing. We just went, no, I don't see it, so I don't believe it. But what we need to go is, I receive from you, Lord, that I've got it, that my arm will be healed. And then, I don't know when that's going to happen, but I know it will happen. Because if he says so, it will happen. His word doesn't return void. Right, and we know that we are a descendant of Abraham, that we actually have received every blessing possible. So in this faith journey, just like a child, when you conceive it, does it make sense? I hope it's making sense. Yeah, I know I get a bit like muddled sometimes. So when we conceive that baby, nobody was there, nobody knew. I hope none of you were there for conception. And, you know, they had this baby, but God knew, and there was a spiritual conception that took place. And then 9 months later, there's this baby, and you actually get to feel it and see it and smell it tangibly, right? So this is amazing story. But I love with Abram, at this point he's called Abram, he believed in the Lord and accounted it to him for righteousness. So we are the righteousness of God because we believe he is who he says he is. And then if we jump over to Genesis 17, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful. And I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you, and your descendants after you in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And then, it just continues. What's amazing with God is he never just goes, hey, I'll give you a child. Do you like hear the promises, after the blessings, after the blessings? Like it just keeps going. And I think for some of us, we need to ask God to help shift our mindset from sometimes we look at God like maybe our Father on earth that's been brutal or has been really hard to us or just different situations, and where God, he's like, I mean, he's lavishing out upon Abraham, isn't he? He's just giving, like, it literally says, and I will make you nations of you, and kings shall come from you, and I will establish my covenant between me and you, and your descendants after you in their generations. And he's a generational God. He just keeps going and going and going. He just has blessing after blessing after blessing. Whew, he's so good. Yeah, and Abraham didn't ask for that, did he? He never asked. He just wanted a child. And then it says even further, so if we go to Genesis 21. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. So he's fulfilled his promises when he said he would, because he's faithful. He's more faithful than we're ever going to be. But his language is faith. You know, God, really, what his requirement, I guess, if he had a requirement was with Abraham, was the fact that he believed who he said he was. That he wasn't a liar. God's not a liar. Because sometimes we actually, by not believing he is who he says he is, we're questioning his character, we're questioning his integrity. And if you actually are questioning him, that's okay. You're not a bad person. You just have to go and ask him, like, show me in these spaces and in these places, why do I have this view of you? Why do I see you this way? Why do I feel like this? And so the other part also is I wanted to touch on, so this is a real teaching message this today. Hope you're hanging in there. that faith is not an emotion. Faith is not an emotion. Emotions do not have intellect. Emotions don't think. That's what emotions are. They feel, right? That's their job. And feelings shift based on information that is received. So faith is not an emotion. So, you know, when you're believing for something and you're like, man, this is hard work, and you've got all these different emotions coming in, but you know that you can set your eyes, that's what they always say, look on Jesus, set your eyes, set your focus on Jesus, because he doesn't change. He stays the same today and forever, yesterday, today, and forever. And so that's where we're setting our gaze, is upon him. But yeah, faith is not an emotion. I just love that part. Emotions do not have intellect. Emotions don't think. That's what emotions are. They feel. And feelings shift based on information received. I just wanted to, actually, I've probably got a thing for that. Sorry, I'm getting used to this one. Here you go. Actually, yeah, so the devil lives in the realm of feelings. He tries to jump on our feelings when we're having bad thoughts or something, or not really feeling like maybe God's going to come through or whatever. And we begin to, like I said before, we begin to fuse ourselves on and attach to those lies that the devil was trying to come and accuse us with. So yeah, don't be led by your feelings. God gave us feelings. We enjoy our feelings, but we're not led by them. We don't get led by them. Cool. Are you with me? Awesome. Yeah, I've already gone through that. Cool. Yeah, cool. So I'm actually going to wrap up pretty soon, I think. So the formal definition of faith. Faith is simply acting like God is telling the truth. Isn't that a concept? Come on, Lord. It's not feeling or saying that God is telling the truth. It's acting like God is telling the truth. That's why the Bible says we're walking by faith. Not feeling by faith, talking by faith, or even thinking by faith. And I love this line. Unless it has hit your feet, it's not faith. Because we've actually got to act and walk out faith, don't we? We've got to act like we're actually God has said something and we believe it. If there is no motion, it lies dormant, although it's really there. And faith is acting like it is so, even when it's not so, in order that it might be so, simply because God said so. I like that line. I stole that one. I thought that was great. Yeah, so I actually encourage you this morning to stop diluting your prayers down. Because he's a God of faith, and he's actually just waiting for you to have that spiritual conception where you actually meet him with, you know, it's in his will and it's in his, but he loves you. You're his, like, literally you are his treasure, and so he wants to meet you and have this conception. And even like you guys have been believing for your house, all those things, it's going, no, a prayer is too big, and God's going to pour out upon you, because you actually are walking it out. You're actually actioning it out. I know for us, like Mark and I, we've, most people in the room know that we've been wanting to have a baby. And so we have actually got, a girlfriend of mine gave me this cot a year ago, and we've just had it situated in our house, and we're just believing, come on, we're believing for this baby. And some people probably come into our house and think we're nuts, but I don't care, because I know that that's what God has said. And I know that he's given us the prophetic words, and he's spoken over us, right? And so I'm like walking past, and even some days, sometimes I don't even want to walk past it, because that's, you know, it's hard sometimes. You go through the journey and it's really hard. But I go past and I go, I know that your promises are true. I know that what you've said, and this, you know what, actually going through these journeys produces, and the Bible says it produces perseverance. And it produces character, because we also want to have character and anointing. We don't want to just have one or the other, okay? We want to have both. And so, you know, sometimes we go through these seasons because God is also not, and by the way, not saying that God has made that a delay. Does that make sense? Or made that a situation for you not work out. But he does use situations and turn them into a good space where he's actually going to go, well, while the situation's happening, I'm going to produce perseverance in you. I'm going to produce endurance in you. Amen. I'm just going to quickly just see if I've got any more on this one. Oh, yes, he is. Blessed Jesus. No. We'll just go back to that one. I'll leave it there. Awesome. So. Oh, you want to?
You go for it. I'll just find out where I am. You said something earlier was really profound. I felt the Holy Spirit on it, and that's, it's all Holy Spirit's on the whole lot, but it says that especially for you and to do with identity. You know, when you go, yeah, I know God's real, but he's just not working in my life. Because I'm not worthy of God working for me. I didn't. So might be people here. This is our journey. This is our walk. That's that walk, that stepping out in faith. There's part of us that sometimes believes that, like when Nikita was saying, you're looking in the mirror and you're going, well, that person looking back at me doesn't deserve, God's not listening to that person, meaning us. And he's working for other people, and you're hearing about these things going on, but we know your journey. We know there's been times where that's not, it seems like everything's going the opposite way. If anything, it's like you pray harder and it just gets 10 times worse. And we think, what's going on here? Is God not listening? And then this is the walk of every Christian and every believer in the Bible and all the main people in the Bible. God is listening to your prayer. He has got victory for you. He has got victory for you. You persevere in the time, and he is so, so, so joyous when you decide to still step forward in your walk, going, I believe, even though my surroundings don't tell me that, I'm going this way. Even though I'm surrounded by you, like believing that he is there the whole time. So I just want to encourage you that, yes, if you're having an issue with that, that's an identity issue, and it's normal. Unfortunately, it shouldn't be, because Christianity even teaches us that we are sturdy sinners and we're rotten and we're da-da-da-da, but for Jesus. And we focus on the first bit and we forget the second bit. But if you've already had the but for Jesus, forget about that other bit. You're lions now. You're carnivores, yeah? You miss out the veggies on the way to the buffet and you go straight to the meat and the spare ribs. So if you have an identity issue, if you have an identity issue, you now know who is the Father. That's one part of identity. And who am I? Who does he say I am? Those are the two things you need to ask him. But who am I, Father? But who am I? Anyway, that was what I just wanted to jump on that.
So good. Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, and do you know what? Often it gets really intense and worse right before the breakthrough. And I know we hear of that and we hear it, and sometimes it doesn't really conceive it in our hearts. We're just like, yeah, it's something we say as Christians, you know? Yeah, sure, it gets hard. But, you know, it really does. And right before, like, I know we were in a situation, just as we first come back to the Lord, really, and we had just accusation after accusation, like it was the next level. And for us, a character was a really big thing, and we had, you know, that was what the devil was coming against us, because he wants us to once again fuse to this other identity. He wants to fuse our past things or accusations, just false accusations, into our identity, which is actually totally separate and never should be put together, right? And through that time, it was like accusation after accusation. It started out kind of, oh yeah, South Africa. and it started out, you know, kind of just enough to go against our character, and it just slowly increased and got worse and worse and worse, and to the point we were like, oh my gosh, how can this even be at this stage? And we're like, Lord, we just don't even, there's nothing left to do. We don't even know what to do in this space but cry, you know? It was like that. And then he, all of a sudden, it got so bad, the worst possible that you could possibly imagine, and then the next day it was like everything was finished. Everything was silenced by the Lord. But it's by keeping that action, by keeping that faith. And that's actually also why we do this as a community, because God wants us to walk with each other, hold each other up, like Moses and Aaron. You know, he held up his hands, and that's what we're doing. You know, we're holding each other up, because this life of journeying and endurance and perseverance, it's rough sometimes, yeah? But it says the just live by faith. And I think it was, is that in Paul that he was talking about, where other people were ready to give up, and actually the Christians were ready to give up. And Paul said, but keep going. Just live by faith, because our help comes from the Lord. So I had a couple of just questions to kind of get you thinking. Yeah, worship team. Yeah, you guys want to jump up, that would be awesome. Thanks, babe, that's great. Ask God, where are the areas that I don't believe that you will come through for me? It's a really good question to ask. You're not a bad person if you ask those questions. We're talking about actually what was in the old school rabbis and stuff. It used to be if you actually questioned the rabbi, if you were a student of the rabbi and they asked you questions and you outdid the rabbi, it was celebrated that you had actually, you know, out kind of. But now we go, if anyone asks questions, it's like, shush, 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 shush. We don't want you to know, you know, and I'm not saying I can answer half of your questions, but I'm just saying that there should be like the celebration of asking, questioning, you know. We actually, what did we say the other day? It's like, if you can't think for yourself in a place, guess what? It's a cult. So make sure you're asking questions and you ask the Lord some things. What's that? If you can't ask hard questions, it's a cult. Yeah, that's right. So we don't want to be a cult. Okay, we're just saying that out loud. Yeah, you can leave. You're all right. Yeah. And then just ask the Holy Spirit, like, show me the root cause. Because Holy Spirit is sent here to be the helper, right? He's sent here. So ask him. Help me understand this, Lord. Bring someone, highlight someone for me, or just begin to reveal stuff to me about this. Why do I have this blockage here? Or why do I feel a bit funny when I say that I'm perfect by you and I don't actually feel like I'm perfect, and I've actually got shame, or I've got something there that's just keeping me, you know, distant from you? So ask those questions. You know, one thing that I did through, last year when we were living in Greymouth, was every month, God just began to show me something that was, so 1 month it was like, I'm going to show you how good I am. And actually when you begin to have this lens of how actually good he is, when people tell you something about, oh, God's done this to me, I'll go, no, he didn't. Because I know how good he is. And I'm like, that doesn't line up with the God I know. And so, you know, so it begins to actually, and it also makes it really clear for you to know if God, if it was God or not. Begins to actually really identify that for you, because sometimes people really struggle with, is it good or is it God? Or is it not God? Is it God? Is it not? Is it God? Is it not? And God's just saying, well, does it line up with my character? And you go, oh, nah, it doesn't really line up with your character. I need to ask some more questions around that. And then the next month, he actually showed me how kind he was. And I spent that month pretty much crying because he was so kind. And even with so the baby stuff that I'm saying that we're believing for, it was like people just kept bringing me baby clothes. And just out of the blue, didn't even know that we were even trying, you know? And so he was bringing me these things because that's how kind he is. And he's letting me know, hey, guess what? This is what's going to happen. He even brought me, it was so beautiful, he brought me a certain amount of boys' clothes and a certain amount of girls' clothes. And I was like, Lord, is this prophetic? And then I went to School of Revival, and Tabitha Wade, who came over, and we've had her here, and she came up to me and she told me exactly how many kids I was going to have, and it was exactly how many boys and how many girls, and it literally was the same as what I'd been given. So I was just like, man, Lord, you are so good. You are so kind. And just people reaching out all through that time was just amazing. Show me how faithful you are, Lord. Show me how faithful you are. Dare to say it. Dare to say it. Yeah. So this morning, we'll have some ministry, and if you're wanting to help build your faith, if you're wanting someone to stand with you or pray with you, we can totally do that. If you want to know the Lord more deeply, then we can do that. But I just feel like right in this moment, we're just going to close our eyes and we're going to ask the Lord, what are we asking for? And we're going to spiritually conceive that right now. And we're going to write it down in our book. We're going to write it down on our phones. We're going to write it somewhere. So maybe get that out. Maybe get your phone or your book out and write it in there. And you're going to put the date. What's the date today? 28th of April. There you go. 28th of April. This has been spiritually conceived. And then we're going to wait for God to do his wonders. Just let you guys do that for a second. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yeah, thank you, Lord. You guys all done something? Something in your mind? Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I know that God is faithful. And I know that through this next year, that there is going to be, each one of you are going to just through the year go, wow, Lord. You brought that to pass. And I know that this was when it was spiritually conceived. I know that this is when it happened. I know this is when I aligned with you and you did the work. And I just had to trust. I just had to have faith. And so God might require, he'll require an action. So like I said, we've got a baby, got given a baby cot, and we're believing and we're standing for that, but I had to walk it out. I had to actually get it and put it there. That's part of the act of faith, the part of walking it out, part of speaking it out right now. Amen.